Ryan had already spotted the pinyon, only a few paces away, its trunk forking about 8 feet from the ground. The wad of paper, several pages thick, had been protected from the weather in a small bag of oiled cloth.
If you got this, you're following on, lover. Have a bit of time to write you and explain. This is what happened.
They'd seen the dust trail rising into the sky for some time before they could actually make out the details of the wag train. Jack and Christina had their defenses prepared against the unexpected arrival of any strangers, particularly when it was a relatively large number of strangers. It was impossible to tell in the covered ox wags just how many people were hidden and what kind of weaponry they might have. JB walked out to meet the train, Jack following him to give cover. Both men were heavily armed. The rest watched from the house, with the heavy iron-bound shutters ready to slam across. The fire was doused, and Christina had enlisted Doc, Christy, and Mildred to carry in buckets of fresh water from the well. Three wags, each hauled by a spavined pair of oxen, looked as though they were near the limits of exhaustion. JB held up a hand when the first wag was about 50 yards from him, a quarter mile off from the homestead. The Uzi was in his hands. His new toy, the Smith & Wesson M4000 12-gauge repeating scattergun, was across his shoulders. Its lethal load of seven flechette rounds was snug in the mag, one more in the chamber. Each round held 20 of the tiny inch-long arrows.
Stop right there.
A cadaverous man held the reins of the first wag. His eyes were sunken so far into his unshaven skull that it looked like they were set on coming out the back. Livid sores streaked his cheeks, and his nose was running. He wiped it on the black sleeve of his coat.
We're pilgrims on the road, brother, having a hard time of it.
How many?
8 men, 6 women, and 4 little ones.
When I heard him speak, his voice reminded me of melted butter oozing over a steel file. But they didn't seem a threat, and JB waved them in. They said all they wanted was some water for themselves and for their stock. Christina offered them the fixings for a good rich stew, and they accepted. Jack insisted that they keep the house on an armed alert, what he called a condition orange. A couple of the men wore battered, rebuilt blasters on their hips, poor, low-caliber weapons that looked like they'd do more harm to their owners than to any foes. They also had a half-dozen smoothbore muskets that they stacked neatly together by the side of the fire they'd built at the back of the corral. The thing that struck me was the frail state of the stranger's health. They seemed listless, sometimes stumbling. The children didn't play or run around, simply sitting mute and still where grown-ups had put them. Several of them also looked to be in some kind of pain, occasionally touching themselves tenderly in the armpit or the groin. Mildred told their leader that she was a doctor and offered to examine them, but he refused.
The will of the Almighty shouldn't be gainsaid, sister, though I thank you for your charity. Truly it is said that man pays his price to live with himself on the terms that the Lord wills for him.
The price had come late that evening. The cooking fire had died down to smoldering embers. The remains of the stew had congealed in the cauldron. Doc Tanner had noticed that few of the strangers seemed to have any kind of an appetite. Christina and Jack had gone to bed early. Mildred and JB were sitting quietly together, rocking gently on the swing seat on the porch. Christy had been standing close to the well, looking out across the empty space of the desert, when Doc went to join her.
Might I offer you a penny for your thoughts, dear lady?
Not worth a penny, Doc.
Could it be that you are pondering the fate of a certain man who is somewhat deficient in the number of eyes? Item 1, Ryan Corder. No doubt safe and sound in another place.
Think so, Doc? I can't tell. Have some bad dark feelings about him.
He'll be fine, Christy. Always was and always will be. Would you care to accompany an old man on a stroll before retiring for the night?
She dropped him a full curtsy.
I'm honored, Doc, truly. He was doing his best to take my mind off worrying over you, lover. Pointed to a flaming light way out in space. Probably some sort of ancient nuke rubbish falling back. Didn't notice that the strangers were all grouped together in the shadow of one of the wags. Their leader came sliding out toward us with 2 of the other men. Don't know if I caught the glint of moonlight on steel or if it was just I finally got to see the danger, but...
Look out, Doc!
Her voice was loud enough to make the old man stagger back so that the knife thrust missed opening up his belly, and loud enough to bring JB and Mildred off the porch, and loud enough to tear Jack and Christina apart in their bed with the antique Amish quilt.
Redhead bitch!
The leader of the wag train raged at Christy, his hand going to the blaster in its holster. Despite his shock, Doc had reacted with unusual speed, for once drawing the mighty Lamar from his hip without even a fumble, cocking and firing in a single fluid movement. Christy, not fearing any threat, had foolishly left her Smith & Wesson 38 on the small table at the side of her bed. Seeing that she was unarmed, a second of the travelers rushed toward her with a slender skinning knife held low to gut her. Christy stepped in, kicking out with her right foot and aiming for the man's face. Teeth cracked and snapped off at gum level, and Christy felt cartilage pulping under her boot. The sneak attack by the wag train of travelers was doomed to failure, even before it got properly started. One of the women caught a bullet from Jack Lauren's satin finish magnum, which kicked her backward over the low stone wall around the well. Her legs flailing, she toppled out of sight. The strangers had scattered all over the spread, some of them trying to hide in the barn, a couple of older women making for the smokehouse. Within less than 5 minutes, the homesteaders had the situation back under their control, though it took another quarter of an hour to round up all the survivors.
We sat them all down in a huddled group. Oh, lover, they did look a sorry bunch. Two men were chilled, one by JB and one by Doc, and we still hadn't got the woman out of the well. Christina had shown a lantern down and said she was a floater. We figured she could wait. Odd thing was, none of them seemed to care a grain of sand about what had happened. One of the kids was lying down, breathing fast and odd, crying that the lumps were killing him, so Mildred said she'd have a look.
The doctor took one of the older children into the house, picking her way between the splashes of clotting blood. JB stayed on guard with Doc and Jack, though the strangers were so apathetic that it hardly seemed worth the effort. Christy and Christina stood in the parlor and watched the examination. The boy looked to be about 12.
Take off the shirt.
Fuck you, bitch! Ah!
Without the slightest change of expression, she slapped him across the face.
Take off the shirt and take the pants off, too.
Sniveling, the boy obeyed her, tugging off the ragged cotton shirt, dropping it by his bare feet. More slowly, reluctantly, he unbuttoned his pants and let them fall to the scrubbed pine boards. His ribs showed through like a picket fence, and he cupped his hands over his genitals.
I want you to lift up your arms and stand with your legs apart. Christy, Christina, you two better go outside.
What? Think I haven't seen it?
Just do it. Please.
Christy obeyed, walking into the cooling night with Christina.
Don't you fucking touch me, bitch!
Stand still and keep quiet. Just answer my questions.
The boy was deathly white, his heart pounding, his respiration quick. His skin was glittering with a sheen of sweat.
How long you been like this?
We all got it.
How long, son? When did it start?
Dawn, day before today.
Mildred lifted an oil lamp off the table and stooped to look at the shadowed place beneath the boy's lifted arms. There were great lumps there, like full-grown tomatoes, but black and shining, with a reflecting malevolence.
Any idea how you all got ill?
Came on a camp. A lot of dead. Rotted right into kind of like thick brown water. There was food that smelled bad and tasted... Look, I gotta go shit!
In the lad's groin, Mildred saw the same signs of the virulent disease. But if the boy was telling the truth, and it had reached this terminal stage in less than 48 hours...
You all have it?
Yeah, all. Lost 5 dead last night. Look, I gotta go! Now!
Outside! Far from the house as you can get before you... Oh, Jesus Christ, kid.
It was too late. The boy shat everywhere. Like watery gruel, with thick specks of black, tinted red with blood. In moments, he threw up.
Gotta go on now. JB says he thinks there might be muties around. Anyway, lover, you probably guessed what was wrong and what we had to do.
What is it?
Plague.
Doc Tanner turned to face Mildred, his rheumy eyes protruding like boiled gooseberries.
Plague?
Right.
Black Death?
If that's what you want to call it.
Bubonic plague, Mildred. Are you positive in your diagnosis?
The boy's got big black lumps under his arms, more in his groin, glands like patent leather baseballs, sweating, raging dysentery, rapid pulse and respiration. What the fuck more do you want, you gibbering old cretin?
Jack was still watching over their cowed prisoners, but the others were all standing around Mildred, all staggered by the venom of her outburst.
I can only apologize, my dear Dr. Wyeth. I was foolish to speak in the way that I...